Chapter 3, Real-World Experience into a Humorous Story, in which I explain how to relate real-life experiences so they come across as funny. The method which we'll cover for converting any real experience, observation, or scenario into a humorous story or anecdote has worked very well for me and those of whom I've coached. There's no reason it shouldn't work for you as well. It helps to at least understand the process of stand-up comedy, and an easy way to do this is to read The Comedy Bible by Judy Carter. This book certainly helped me. Even though I had no intention of becoming a stand-up comic, the rules helped me. When I applied Judy Carter's stand-up strategy to my storytelling, I struck the humor gold mine. Right, now we both are aligned to the point. Humor is gold. In the previous chapter, we learned the equation for humor: premise, pause, punchline, and pause. The following process will show you how to create punchlines to deliver laughs from personal experiences. This process can be used not only for sharing your experiences, but also used for sharing your perspectives about your life. Here's the high-level process. Step 1. Write down the raw story or your thoughts as it is. Step 2. From the raw piece of content, find the topic and create the topic introduction. Find attitude and create the attitude statement. Find the point of view and create the point of view statement. Find the humor trigger and create relevant experience. Now don't worry if you don't understand any of the terms mentioned above. I'll come back to it soon. Step 3. Sequence the topic introduction, attitude statement, point of view statement, and relevant experience. Let me walk you through the whole process with an example so that it's easier to understand. Step 1. Write. First, write down the story as you remember it. This is the raw story. And here's my example. A few months ago, after finishing my assignment, I was traveling back from New York, USA, to Chennai, India. I went to the ticketing counter and gave my passport to get my boarding pass. The officer looked at my passport and said, "Ramakrishna Reddy Veerappa Narayana Reddy." "Sir, it seems you've used all the letters in the English language." I smiled, but felt embarrassed because of his comment on my name. Step 2. Find and create. Find the topic and create the topic introduction. As far as finding the topic, you can find the topic from the raw story by focusing on the main theme of the story. While zeroing in on the topic, you need to identify if the topic is leading to the rest of the story. And also, the topic should be relatable to your audience. Those points are applicable even if the raw content is not about an experience, but about your perspective about something that seems funny. In this particular story, the topic is my long name. Now create the topic introduction. For our example, we had identified the topic as long name. Let's talk about creating a topic introduction. For the humor to work, first you need to warm up the audience to the topic. For that, you need to clearly introduce the topic so that they have the necessary information to appreciate the humor. Hence, for our example, the audience needs to be aware that I already have a long name. After some thought, I felt I could use my passport as a transition tool to tell the audience that my name is pretty long in it. Here's how I created the topic introduction. Ramakrishna Reddy is not my complete name. My name in my passport says Ramakrishna Reddy Veerappa Narayana Reddy. Then find the attitude and create the attitude statement. As for finding the attitude, in the Comedy Bible, Judy Carter says that trying to create comedy without attitude is like driving a car without gas. This explains why certain punchlines result in huge laughs and others do not. This is an example of how a concept so simple isn't always evident until it's pointed out. I find it awesome when this happens. I followed Judy Carter's suggestion of attitude words: hard, weird, stupid, and scary. By using any of these words, you're deliberately giving attitude to your story. Pros don't use attitude words, but they show attitude with body language, facial expressions, and gestures. I recommend you use the textbook approach. Begin by using these attitude words and work up to conveying attitude through nonverbal methods as you become more experienced. Create the attitude statement. Creating an attitude statement is to convey how you feel about your topic. It means selecting the right attitude word and applying it in a way to elicit a humorous response. Since my goal is to convert a real story to a humorous one, I use the type of situation to help me find the best word to create the attitude. To do this, let's use the four attitude words suggested by Ms. Carter to ask the following questions about the topic. What's hard about a long name? What's weird about a long name? What's stupid about a long name? And what's scary about a long name? Considering my situation at the airport, the words hard and weird seem to work best. Now we need to narrow it down to one word, and hard is the word that rings the truest. As we saw earlier, attitude statements need to convey how you feel about your topic. The topic is long name. The attitude is hard. Combine both of them and you have the attitude statement, long names are hard. You also want to find a point of view and create a point of view statement. As far as finding a point of view, well, the point of view is your analysis of what happened. You'll be able to come up with a point of view by thinking about the reason why you're complaining. It should answer why you are conveying the attitude you've chosen. My point of view was that the officer was making fun of me. Then create a point of view statement. I've realized that this statement can play two roles. In the first role, which is in this case, it can help you set a clear premise before you say the relevant experience. The relevant experience part will have the punchline. In the second role, which is the second example following this, the point of view statement will have the punchline because humor trigger is part of point of view. For this example, the point of view statement is setting a clear premise. Hence, make sure the statement is generic. The key is, and understand this carefully, your story has to become your audience's story. You can do this when you generalize the situation and put the audience in the setup. And there's a simple way to achieve this. Just replace the pronouns I or me with you. Hence the point of view, the officer was making fun of me becomes people make fun of you or people mock you. You need to use words that an audience relates in daily life. In this instance, the better choice is people make fun of you. Then find the humor trigger and create the relevant experience. The trigger is what creates the funniness. It's what cracks you up. You can find the trigger by highlighting the exact word or words that you think is having the funny quotient. In the above example, sir, it seems you've used all the letters in the English language, is what I felt was funny. Then create the relevant experience. There's a reason why we extracted the humor trigger. This is because we need to only include relevant things about our experience, which will naturally lead to the humor trigger. Creating relevant experience is a critical process to tighten up your speech. Let's see how this applies to our story. Here are some of the points that we can exclude from the raw story. Why I'm traveling, the action of going to the counter and giving the boarding pass, and now let's talk about some of the points that we need to include from the raw story. We need to tell that the place is an airport. We also need to tell that the place is New York. Only then the audience can assume that it is an American officer who could not pronounce my name properly. Based on the above ideas, I created this relevant experience. For instance, an officer at New York's airport looked at my passport and says, Ramakrishna Reddy, Virapa Narayana Reddy. Sir, it seems you've used all the letters in the English language. Step 3 is the sequence. As discussed earlier, we will be sequencing topic introduction, attitude statement, point of view statement, and relevant experience to form the humorous anecdote. Excited to see the formation of a humorous anecdote? Well, here we go. Ramakrishna Reddy is not my complete name. My name in the passport says Ramakrishna Reddy, Virapa Narayana Reddy. And long names are hard. People make fun of you. For instance, an officer at the New York airport looked at my passport and goes, Ramakrishna Reddy, Virapa Narayana Reddy. Sir, it seems you've used all the letters in the English language. The above formula might not always hand over a perfect humorous story. You need to be ready to tweak your sentences to tighten the flow of the story. For example, in that story I just told you, adding the word why between long names are hard and people make fun of you tightens the flow. Again, the effectiveness also depends on delivery, which is what we're going to see next. So let's talk about delivery. Constructing a humorous story is one thing. Delivering it effectively is another thing. Construction and delivery have to be in sync. We constructed the humorous story by putting together the topic introduction, attitude statement, point of view statement, and relevant experience. Now, to deliver it effectively, view the whole entity from the premise, pause, punchline, pause, perspective. To do this, start identifying all the words that contribute to the premise and to the punchline. So, the premise. Ramakrishna Reddy is not my complete name. My name in my passport says Ramakrishna Reddy, Virapa Narayana Reddy. Long names are hard. Why? Well, people make fun of you. For instance, an officer at the New York airport looked at my passport and goes, Ramakrishna Reddy, Virapa Narayana Reddy. Now, the long length of this premise is okay, since the objective is to learn to use humor in stories, not to become a stand-up comic. When delivering the premise, the objective is to be sincere and honest, not funny. Say it as you would talk to a friend. Use optimum movement and gestures to convey your premise clearly. I started moving and gesturing only when I started speaking about the officer. I mimed as the officer looked at the passport. I faked an American accent and said Ramakrishna Reddy Veerappa Narayana Reddy and gave a few weird looks and then paused. We want to pause after the premise, because as we discussed earlier, pausing after the premise creates curiousness, anticipation, and tension. Even if the quality of the premise and the punchline is top-notch, your audience won't laugh without this pause. In this case, I paused for 2 to 3 seconds. And then, the punchline. Sir, it seems you've used all the letters in the English language. Since you're expecting the audience to laugh at the end of the punchline, you need to be creative during your delivery. While delivering the punchline, I used an American accent and wore a silly smile. This is where you pull out all the stops and use intonation, exaggeration, modulation, body movement, and facial expressions to your advantage. Try different things and choose the one that elicits the best results. Practice makes perfect. Being funny is all about testing and tweaking your material. As we're pausing after the punchline, a good rule of thumb is to pause for a second or two and see if you get any response. If you do get a response, continue to pause and let them laugh till the entire audience finishes laughing. If not, move on at the same pace as you would if you were just continuing with the speech. This time will vary. 1 second, 2 seconds, or 3 seconds. Well, it depends. You'll pick the skill of pausing as you deliver more laugh lines during actual presentations. You'll also get good at it if you deliberately pause while practicing for your presentation. Here's a second example. Let's follow our three-step process to construct the humorous anecdote. As I said earlier, this is a case where the point of view is strong enough to serve as your punchline. So let's see how it goes. Step 1. Write the raw story or perspective as it is, like this one. After a few years of starting my career as a software engineer, my dad was asking me to get married. In India, parents find the bride or groom and marriages are arranged. And hold on a second, that's not the joke. I was very anxious about an arranged marriage because you never know how your life will turn out. And then one day during working hours, I was testing a piece of code when the thought, how nice it would be if we had the option to do testing before getting married, struck me. I felt that thought was funny. Step 2. From the raw story or perspective, find and create. Find the topic and create the topic introduction. We need to find the topic in such a way that it is relatable and it also leads to the trigger. From the reasoning perspective, marriage seems to be our topic. And creating the topic introduction? Well, marriage is such a common thing that you can get creative in introducing the topic. One idea is to use relevant experience for creating the topic introduction. For instance, for our example, I picked a specific instance where my dad is asking me to get married. Let's see how I introduce the topic. A few weeks ago, my dad said, Rama, get married. I said, no. And then we want to find the attitude and create the attitude statement. As far as finding the attitude, remember, comedy queen Judy Carter advised on 4 attitude words, hard, weird, scary, and stupid. To find which attitude applies to the situation, do a quick check of how the character is feeling towards the topic. Is the character feeling hard, weird, scared, or stupid? As the writer, you have to make that call. I felt scary seemed to be the best choice. Read the raw perspective from step 1 again, and imagine the character's situation. It makes more sense when the attitude word is scary. So we create the attitude statement. And that's easy. Just use the attitude word to describe your topic. The attitude is scary and the topic is marriage. So we have an attitude statement as, marriages are scary. Since I'm planning to deliver the point of view specific to my case, not generic as we did in the earlier example, I changed the attitude statement to suit the same. Again, this depends on your preference and what makes more sense. Another thing that I want to mention is that if you feel that the audience needs to get more information to appreciate the punchline, be more specific and emphasize on the attitude again. I felt that I could take my audience deeper. So I added, I have fears. And hence, the attitude statement is, I have fears. I'm scared of marriage. Then we want to find the point of view and create the point of view statement. As mentioned earlier, point of view is your analysis of the situation. To find the exact words, you need to answer why you're saying the attitude statement. Let's try to answer using our example. I said that the attitude statement, I have fears. I'm scared of marriage. Because even though I am a software engineer, I would be marrying someone without doing testing our life with each other. Hence, the point of view is, though I'm a software engineer, I'd be marrying someone without doing testing. Creating point of view statement. Point of view is, though I'm a software engineer, I'd be marrying someone without doing testing. This is going to help us create the point of view statement, which we'll include in the punchline. In our first example, the punchline was present in the relevant experience part. The dialogue, "Sir, it seems you've used all the letters in the English language," by the airport officer, created humor. Our dialogue, as it is, functioned as our punchline. In this case, where humor trigger is part of the point of view, we should create the punchline by slightly modifying the point of view. A simple rule for creating punchline is to keep minimum words that encapsulate the humor trigger. Our point of view is, though I'm a software engineer, I'd be marrying someone without doing testing. The core idea is that triggering humor is getting married without testing. This line can be modified from first person's perspective to, I can't go live without testing. I'm a software guy is necessary, but can be split as a separate sentence. So, our point of view statement is, I am a software engineer. I can't go live without testing. Our next step is sequence. In our first example, we sequenced the topic introduction, attitude statement, point of view statement, and relative experience. In this case, we created our punchline in the point of view statement itself. The topic introduction, a few weeks ago, my dad said, Rama, get married. I said, no. The attitude statement is, I have fears. I'm scared of marriage. Our point of view statement, I'm a software guy. I can't go live without testing. So, after sequencing, here we go with the humorous anecdote. A few weeks ago, my dad said, Rama, get married. I said, no. I have fears. I'm scared of marriage. I'm a software guy. I can't go live without testing. I can use the above piece in my speech where the topic is about marriage. This always works for me. You see, even though punchlines on the surface seem to be simple and straightforward, they aren't. It'll take some time to get tuned to this concept, so be patient. Apply yourself when you write and practice your anecdotes. Practice your timing so that you pause for maximum effect. Everything won't be perfect at the first go, but I can tell you for sure that you'll get better as you practice and tweak your punchlines to get a laugh. So let's talk about the delivery. We constructed the humorous anecdote by putting together the topic introduction, attitude statement, and point of view statement. Now, to deliver the same, it's time to view the whole entity from the premise, pause, punchline, pause perspective. Start identifying all the words that contribute to the premise and to the punchline. Before listening any further, try finding premise and the punchline. Well, the premise is, a few weeks ago my dad said get married. I said no. I have fears. I'm scared of marriage. I'm a software guy. When delivering the premise, the object is to be sincere and honest, not funny. I used optimum movement and gestures to convey the premise and then paused. And as far as pausing after the premise, as we discussed earlier, pausing after the premise creates curiousness, anticipation, and tension. Even if the quality of the premise and the punchline is top-notch, your audience won't laugh without this pause. In this case, I paused for 2 to 3 seconds. And the punchline is, I can't go live without testing. While delivering the punchline, I had an attitude of intense anxiousness. Since you're expecting the audience to laugh at the end of the punchline, you need to be creative during your delivery. This is where you pull out all the stops and use intonation, exaggeration, modulation, body movement, and facial expressions to your advantage. Try different things and choose the one that elicits the best results. And practice makes perfect. Being funny is all about testing and tweaking your material. Pausing after the punchline, well, I usually have a deadpan expression during this pause. The punchline gets me maximum laughs. Hence, I pause till the audience is completely done with the laughter.